There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Have a small tip for people that are going to do radio. It always helps when you start this show to make sure the microphone is turned on. Hi, everybody. It is Tuesday night, the 7th of May, 2013, and it's just about 1 minute and 47 seconds after the hour of 8 o'clock Central Daylight Standard Time here in Oklahoma, USA, in the barn. Okay. For many weeks now, we've tried to be harsh, really matter of fact, not worrying about your feelings or whether we sounded mean or rough and tough, because we know that you know that Christ is real. But yet we're still receiving emails and text messages during the broadcast of people saying, "I get the message, I understand it, I love the message, but I am still disconnected from grace." And there's a very simple reason for that. It has to be simple. It must be easy. Because if you think it's hard, if you think you have some grandiose, life-changing experience that has to happen, and that there is just bridges to build and rivers to cross and oceans to sail for you to have grace in your life, perhaps that is the closed door for you. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Jesus' blood paid the bill for everything. A gift from God is grace. You have it when you're born. If you're 10, 20, 40, 50, 70, you haven't acknowledged it, you haven't used it, you're not sure if you have it or not, who can really be responsible for that other than ourselves? Tonight's broadcast, Jim is going to be talking about the absolute harshness of really seeing how we all dismiss things. We don't necessarily blame someone else. We don't necessarily say that it's someone else's fault. We don't necessarily say that the circumstances were out of our control. But what we really do with all certainty is dodge the responsibility, the accountability. Because if you're not accountable, if you're not responsible, if you're too busy saying, "This makes me look bad, it wasn't my fault, people don't understand," what you're really saying is, "I'd rather put this behind me. I don't want to deal with it. I'm done talking about this. I'm going to bed, hanging up the phone. You're wrong, and you just refuse to see how right I am." In other words, you're literally sticking your head in the sand, and you're denying all accountability. How would it be conceivably possible for someone who does this on a regular basis, whether it's something simple like a broken coffee cup, or if it's something more serious like cheating on a test in school, or even more escalated about something that's happened to someone else in your home because of your negligence or oversight? Because if you can't accept these little things, where is there room to accept the greatest thing of all, which is grace? Where are you humbling yourself? Because if you don't think it's a sin, if you don't think it's a mistake, then how in the world can Christ forgive it and let you know that grace will take care of it? Do you think I explained all right?
I do. Good evening, everyone. You know, I was thinking while you were talking, mathematically, the probability is always that there's just going to be so many more people that will swim in this place of conjecture where everything gets muddled together. It just doesn't have a definite form on either side. It becomes a way of life where you're always covering your tracks, and
it's learned behavior.
It is. And I just think back
over their own reality.
All the people that I meet on a regular basis, I'm kind of stunned because I think pretty much on the high side, especially anybody that seems to have a position, it's very overwhelmingly in the favor of people that have positions to not be able to humble themselves.
Hold on. What position? What are we talking about?
Position? I mean, just some type of a position where they're over people, where there's an inward pride.
You're talking about an authority figure.
Yeah, like
a supervisory.
A supervisory position. You know, and of course, what I'm actually getting at is maybe religious leaders, people that I'm in contact with. I think overwhelmingly, all right, let's get down to brass tacks then. I'll tell you what I mean. Traveling around and going to different churches, you know, you talk to all kinds of pastors, and here's what I find. You can talk about these things, and they'll so agree with what you're saying, and even make comments about how important this was for their people to get it, but then as you listen to them talk and go back to their normal, you know, banter, how they talk back and forth,
right,
you basically hear that they didn't really get any of what you said.
Well, I call it Christian procrastinating. You know, there isn't anybody over the age of 18 in most countries that does not know about what is a good meal or a bad meal, how you gain weight, how you lose weight. That smoking is bad. Being extremely overweight is tough on your heart. There really isn't anybody that doesn't understand that. You will see someone who might weigh 400, 500, 600 pounds. And all they can do every day is listen to a radio or watch television. They know in their heart how they got there. And as they're eating an entire loaf of bread, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches as a snack, and they're watching television and they're talking about watch your intake of food, watch what you eat, eat healthy, slow moderation, do exercise, they see this. They know this in their heart. But yet there is something about humanity, about everybody, including us here in the barn. Well, except for Ranger.
Right.
And the horses and the barn mice and the barn kitties. But there is something about every person that, I don't know, you can't say it's genetic. It isn't something that is taught in schools. It isn't something like if your parents are hooked to drugs and alcohol, maybe you will be too. But there is something that is definitely passed along. And everybody in every country of every age seems to have the affliction. And that is to have information come into your mind, and then all of a sudden, it's not forgotten, but it's buried.
You dismiss it. It's just interesting.
It's completely gone.
Right.
It's gone to the point where if someone asks you a knee-jerk question, you'll give them the knee-jerk answer, which basically says, I don't know anything about this subject. I don't know how this could occur, and I don't even know who was involved. And then all of a sudden they say, we've got security cameras. We caught this. We saw you carrying it out of the store and putting it in your trunk. But yet, there is something about being accountable to acknowledging. It's like they say that you really don't own, and it's almost impossible to change your lifestyle until you're really willing to look in the bathroom mirror and say, this is bad. This is ridiculous. I can't live like this anymore.
Right.
I have to change. They say you can feel that way. You can think that way. But until you actually see and hear the words coming out of your mouth, bouncing off of the bathroom mirror, back into your own ears, that there is still some type of dismiss deniability that possibly it just isn't that bad.
Yeah, it's almost comes down to the same type of thing of selective hearing. It's like selective when you begin to do an assessment of your life, because people can in areas that doesn't necessarily concern them too much can be very open and honest, but all of a sudden hit that buzzer and it's almost like it's a closed door without even having to close it.
You can't blame negative energy for this, but there's proof of this. I feel there's proof of this in the book of Genesis. Look at Adam.
Well, sure.
He basically said, hey, God, look, I didn't take the apple off the tree. I wasn't even around the tree. You really need to talk about this with the serpent and, what's her name over there? You know, you got to talk to Linda about this, because this isn't my fault. Linda picked the apple off the tree. Linda took a bite. And since the apple had already been picked off the tree, Linda took a bite of it, and it was handed to me. How can you say this is my fault? Yeah. What's it matter? The apple might as well have been on the ground, because talk to Linda and the serpent about this. Me, poor little Adam, I'm just a victim.
Well, what's
he doing?
Yeah, sure, he's passing the buck.
He's passing the buck. He's in denial. He's come up with a plan B of why he's a victim.
Notice the exact words, and look how it even gets worse. God said to him, in verse 11 of Genesis 3, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of a tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Then the man said, the woman you gave me.
Yeah, Linda.
Well, notice he blamed God for it.
Oh, yeah, right.
I mean, he said, yeah.
Well, he's blaming God for Linda.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He says, the woman you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. So it's really on you, God.
Right.
I mean, that's how ridiculous it is.
Well, that's like saying the moral of the story is if your name is Linda, then you're just a bad girl.
And then, you know, God says to the woman, what is this you have done? And Eve says, the serpent deceived me and I ate.
Right. See, and then the way the human mind works, for some reason, which you can't blame on negative energy. This has nothing to do with Satan or hell. But the human mind will say, okay, Linda, look what she did to Adam. Look what she did. The serpent lost his wheels. Now it's not a serpent anymore. It's a snake, and it's biting at the heel of man. Okay, so whenever you see a woman named Linda, and if she's got a jar of applesauce in one hand or an apple in the other hand, run.
Right.
Because what does that do? That turns poor Linda into a villain. And it gives Adam what? Perfect deniability to be a victim and then to say, come on, God, why are you mad at me? Why am I being punished? What's up with this? You need to really, you know, Linda's the villain here. I'm just a poor innocent little guy,
right,
you know, trying to scratch out a day in the Garden of Eden.
Now, this scenario really fits all day long, every day, with most people, don't you think?
It does. And what did I tell you before the show? I says one of the hardest things for me is when I have to say, okay, BJ, you just really need to shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you're thinking...
Right, what
and
are you
what
thinking?
Is, yeah, it's like I told you about the tractor.
Yeah.
Why? I'm the only one on the tractor. The tractor is in the middle of a 100-acre field. Why is there even any conjecture as to why the tractor is stuck? What do I do? Am I blaming the weatherman because we got more than a half inch of rain?
Right.
Am I supposed to blame somebody because the tractor's stuck in mud? Shouldn't I just say it was too wet to drive the tractor and now the tractor's stuck and you and Ranger have to drive back to the ranch and get another tractor to pull this tractor out? But what do people say? Oh, I hate this weather. This ground is no good.
Yeah, this tractor always has problems.
This tractor gets stuck when it shouldn't get stuck.
Right.
Okay, now, take out tractors. Forget about Linda and
Folks, that's Eve he's talking about, in case you're still having a problem with that.
Do you really think you need to explain that?
I did. I really had to.
Did you really?
I think there's somebody out there thinking he really thinks it's Linda.
You know, I think this is a perfect time to say, folks, we have instant text messaging. If you want to text the show, the first word of your text needs to be J-I-M-B-J. No capitals, no spaces, just Jim B-J, Jim is wrong. Jim B-J, Jim, that was ridiculous to say.
Or Jim B-J,
what a waste of time that was.
Thank you for clarifying that.
I'll bet you a dime we don't get that. You know what? If we get one that says that, it's just because somebody is really mean.
On my side.
And they're being mean, and they want me and Ranger to be without a dime. And if you want to email the show, it's the Abiding Presence, all one word, no caps, no space, theabidingpresence@gmail.com. But this is my point. Look what people do. They blame a coworker. They blame the dog kept them from getting to work on time. The traffic was bad. The weatherman's report was wrong. My car's too old. The parking spaces are too full. They always come
right.
up with some
right.
reason. But when you really sit down with a piece of paper, and if they separate themselves like a fly on the wall, they'd say, well, the reason you were 15 minutes too late was you were checking emails. You got up late. You pressed the snooze button on the alarm.
Four times.
The reason you don't have enough money to pay your bill is because you decided to set your fat rear end on a bar stool and push buttons in a casino.
Right.
But see, they don't. They say, you know what? Those machines are rigged. I should have won. You'd think as much money as I put into that gambling machine that I would get some money back. That's just not right. You don't understand the pressure I'm under. You're not walking in my shoes. Walk a mile in my shoes and then that.
Sure.
Well, what are all these things saying?
Hmm?
They're saying one thing and one thing only. I'm not taking responsibility
right.
for my feelings. I'm not taking responsibility for the thoughts that those feelings have generated. I'm not taking responsibility for my actions that were generated from my thoughts. How is that person be able to sit down in a quiet room and say, God, I'm messing up. I'm really making bad choices, and I am so grateful that they're forgiven. And I'm so grateful that when I continue to do this through my life, that you say, that's okay, acknowledge it, come to me, and grace will take care of it.
And
the closer you become to God, the more grace makes sure that you don't have those feelings, to have those thoughts, to make those actions, to have reactions. And then all of a sudden, you look back on your life and you say, I might have been saved when I was 19, but I truly wasn't a Christian until I was 45. Because that's when grace really hit my life.
And what we're talking about here, folks, when you put it together over years and years of practice, and of course, you know, you think of Olympic athletes and you see all kinds of people that, you know, have amazing skill. Well, it didn't just happen yesterday. I mean, these people have been working with these skills for years and years. Well, now put that together with what we're talking about. What if we have years and years compounded together with even our childhood being filled with this and seeing it even in our parents or grandparents or, you know, siblings, relatives, whatever? What's the possibility that it literally keeps you from having an accurate assessment of your own life? Then how? I remember a few weeks ago, probably more than a month ago, we talked about this. We said, if someone's not receiving grace, it's because they haven't learned how to repent. Remember that?
Yep.
Well, if you don't accurately see who you are, how in the world can you accurately repent?
That's true.
What'd you get there?
Well, I got two texts. The first text says, hello, self-actualization is seldom done. Smile face from Mike K. The next text message is really good. It says, this is Linda in Broken Arrow. Was happy Jim explained it really was Eve, not Linda. Thanks, Jim.
It's a shiny time.
Well, you know, I can't help it.
I'll contribute to the fun of corrections for the show.
Well, then you need to self-correct, because as far as I know, this is the only time I've been in error. And I wasn't really that far off because, well, okay, there's five letters in Linda and there's three letters in Eve.
Correct.
So that means I was only two letters off. Now, how can you be held accountable for two letters? That's just ridiculous to hold somebody accountable for two extra letters.
And you were going to give an example of what we were talking about tonight, weren't you?
There you go.
Yep.
Hello.
Yep. Can I read this? Because I think this is...
One more time. Were you in some place called Florence?
I don't know. Sometime in my life, I'm sure.
Well, it says listening in Florence. Florence, Italy, or Florence, Kansas? But it says... their name is Cooper. It says, listening in Florence, I enjoyed being in the service with you and feel grace as he ministries through you.
Yeah. And he came from Florence. I was in...
You hit this guy in the head?
Yeah, I hit him in the head.
And I'm getting flack for two letters? It says, BJ, your friend told me all I needed was a thump on my head. After the fact, it appears he was correct. I received healing for an enlarged prostate and looking for more.
Woo! It all came with that thump on the head.
You can't be beating a snot out of people. What's wrong with you?
It happens every once in a while. Okay, I'm over here in Matthew 13, and verse 13 says, therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. And then it goes on to say, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn or repent, so that I should heal them. This is a real good prescription for what we're talking about.
It is.
Tonight. And and I think, and I like running things by you here, but I think this is really the essence of what we're saying, that you can get so in a cycle of denying the actual or the accountability of your decisions that you now hear and don't hear. You see and don't see, and then you don't understand, and people are struggling with these things, and it goes right back to how we've learned to live.
And see, there's literally no room for grace or Christ in your life or your heart, because you're literally, you're like paddling a boat, and there's just no room in the canoe for anybody else, because you're not only are you building and creating drama, you're living drama and you're feeding off of it. And what these people do is they have a tendency to upset people around them. It's like a parent will say, well, I don't understand this, but I see so many traits in my mom that I don't like, and I see them in my son or my daughter. And then someone will say, well, you're just like your mom or your dad. How do you think that this wouldn't be
Right.
Follow the chain of appearance.
Get into your son or daughter, sure.
Well, yeah, because if you see things about your mom that frustrate you or that you think are too harsh, have you ever thought that maybe you grew up in that atmosphere and that you've accidentally thought that that's what real is, and now you can't see it in yourself, but you're starting to see it in your child? Where do you think your child got this from?
Now, explain something here again, and I know it, but I want the listeners to hear it like you and I used to talk about it. Because, you know, as you've been around in the horse business and met all kinds of people, you've literally met people women that have actually been in abusive situations.
Yeah.
That got free finally, and they went right back in. Explain that to the listeners.
There's a lot of women that have had a lot of bad experiences with people in general. And one reason why these women gravitate to owning a horse is because a horse is 1,000 pounds. It'll run 30, 40 miles an hour. It's big. It's massive. And the fact that they can control it. The horse is manipulative to their whims. The horse goes where they want. They trailer it. They feed it. These women will, and they're not abusive to the horse. It's just the opposite. They love the horse. They worry about the horse, and the horse is catered to on every level. And the reason is because subconsciously they feel they have no control in their own life. That people have been mean to them, and there's no direction, and there's no love, and they're just adrift. So what they do is they overcompensate, and they literally become like everything to the horse. No one can feed the horse, water the horse, brush the horse as good as them. And they bond to the horse. And what happens is these women, they know they're in an abusive relationship because they wear sunglasses to hide a black eye.
Right.
It'll be a hot summer day, and they're the only person at the picnic or the rodeo wearing a long sleeve shirt instead of short sleeves. Or a lot of women are wearing short pants or a skirt, but they're still wearing their Wranglers because they've got bruises on their legs from being kicked. And what happens is they'll leave. They'll leave the abusive environment, but it's short-lived and it's temporary because fear sets in.
Uh-huh.
And it's fear of the unknown, that the next person could be worse. And they've been in this situation for so long, they know how to survive it. They can accept it, they can deal with it, and it's a reality. And so even if someone treats them good, they feel they either don't deserve it, they haven't earned
it. It's pretty wild, yeah.
Or more dangerously, this is temporary.
Uh-huh.
I know something's wrong with you. I know it just can't be this good. I might as well just go back to what I can deal with, what I can live with, and what I'm used to. And they literally slowly, over days, weeks, and a few months, they end up right back where they were, and they completely forget that they literally were gone, they were away from it, and they had a fresh start. I've seen this my whole life. And they literally tell me, I was gone. Things were great. I met a good guy. And I've had men tell me this. I got away from her. You know? I didn't know there were women that didn't fly around on brooms. You know?
Yeah.
A man will say that.
Right.
I didn't know that a woman would actually do laundry, clean the house, and cook. I just saw that in television movies. I didn't think a wife was capable of that kind of support. And then all of a sudden I'll say, why did you go back? Well, you know, we've been together a long time. We've got kids. We've got a mortgage. Blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. But when it really comes down to it, it's literally about giving up, glossing over, you know, not taking responsibility, no accountability. And then before you know it, their whole life is just a distorted, unconformed, lifelong mishap.
So let me throw this at
in. And then they say, I don't know how this happened.
Right.
Why me?
Let me throw this in and see if this goes along with it. And that is, isn't it interesting how people can watch or desire to watch on TV either the areas of their life that they dreamed about becoming and they never became that, or the thing that they wish they had that they don't have. And instead of confronting it
right
with strength, they literally, in weakness, will watch TV to give them some satisfaction, but they don't get to experience it for themselves.
What I don't understand is the two shows that over the lifespan of television, whatever year TV was invented, I think it was in the early 50s or something. Okay, so this is 2050. So you take 2013 minus 1950, and that's 1783 years. Okay, so as long as television has been around for 1783 years, right? The two most popular types of shows are a family that has nothing but laughter, and they're a bunch of oddballs, and everything always turns out okay. And the other show is someone's dead, and their body has been traced with a crayon, and somebody just did them wrong. Stabbed them in the back, shot them, backed over them 14 times with a pickup truck. Those are the two types of television shows. Those are the two types of movies that if you really looked at everything else, there's two stories. Something that is too unrealistically happy. That just doesn't, that nobody
right.
really has.
Right.
Or the other end of the scale. It is so disastrous and catastrophic, that really doesn't happen either. Because it seems like most people's lives is halfway between the chalk line and halfway between the 30-minute family comedy. Because they have some good, and they have some bad, and they don't want any bad, and they want it to be all good. So they gravitate to both sides of that. But what they don't realize is that if you, there's so much power
yes.
in the statement of there's nothing good of the flesh,
right.
there's nothing good of the world. Because if you're worried about a car, if you're worried about the repair bill, if you're asking friends for help, well, where is there room for grace in this equation? You're upset with the car, you're panicky about money, your friend really isn't helping you, and the friend is now getting frustrated. Don't you think that somewhere in that, that negative energy is sitting back in a recliner with a glass of cherry Kool-Aid saying, I'm really glad you folks are all tied up with this. And there sits Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit and grace, they're sitting on a sleeper sofa saying, where is there room for us in this conversation? Why are you asking each other for support? Why aren't you asking me for support? And so the dominoes fall, and it yeah. just goes on and on.
Yeah, they do. I want to read this from...
Did any of that make sense?
Yeah, and I'm going to come behind it right here and give a scripture. 2 Kings, let's see if I'm making sure. No, it's 1 Timothy chapter 4. And Paul said in verse 1, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. And then it goes on to say some other things. But I wanted to just point out that having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. And this actually goes right to what we've been talking about, that you can begin by behavioral patterns that have been enforced for years, see things in a particular light where you don't see it like it really is. And it doesn't take long when you accept that reality for your conscience, which should be very, very open and very pliable to truth,
right.
to sear it like a hot iron. It's like being able to drink hot coffee and just drink it down because years and years you've had it
right.
hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. And now you're so far away from the, your taste buds and your your skin and your tongue being able to handle. I'm just saying, this. These are years and
that
years of this
with
happening.
Spicy food.
Spicy
like
food.
Like Tabasco sauce and chili peppers.
It really happens in multiple things that are of the world, but it happens especially with the psyche, with the mind.
Yeah. See, for instance, me, I've never drank coffee. I've never really been a soda pop drinker. I've never smoked. I've never drank. I've never used drugs. I've never really eaten a lot of hot, spicy food. So when I dip a French fry in ketchup, I have to be careful. Because if I have too much French fry, too much ketchup on the French fry,
right.
I have to drink water because I go, oh man, this ketchup is strong. This ketchup is spicy. Because I haven't put any calluses, and I haven't really gone the spectrum of flavors and the intensity of spices through my life when it comes to food.
All right, so
because Rice Krispie Squares pretty much, you know.
Do you mind telling everybody about your treat after the show's all on, what you're going to have and why it doesn't have something on it, or is that too personal?
You know, okay. See, this is the problem with this radio show right here, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, this is a really good question.
How the only reason you're asking this question, okay, this is what's going on here. Okay, Jim's out here in the barn. There's a knock on the barn, and I didn't get a chance to go to town and grocery shop. So there's a pizza parlor in town that's willing to drive out here. They normally don't go this far, but for some reason they'll deliver me a pizza. So I had a pizza delivered, and I showed it to you. And you said, wow, this is quite a treat. And I said, this is my supper. I'm not giving you any of this pizza.
I didn't ask for any.
You did.
No.
Yes,
I didn't ask for
you know,
any.
And now you're making a big deal about it.
Well, the reason is because you didn't put any sauce on it. And you said the reason you didn't is because it would hinder your ability to enjoy all the individual tastes. It's like a supreme pizza. It has everything
on it.
All the
toppings.
It actually looks extremely good, and it smells wonderful.
It smells good because this is what I told you. I said, when somebody orders a pizza, no matter what it is, the overwhelming taste is what? Tomatoes. It's tomato sauce. And I said, what good does it do to spend a lot of money on a pizza that has 10 or 15 different toppings on it? Olives and you know, like... you know, beef
onions
and pork and onions and bell peppers and different cheeses when they take and put 5 gallons of sauce on it. Because all you, and I said, so if you don't have any sauce, every bite you take is going to be a combination of those specific ingredients. And I said, look at the pizza. I said, smell the pizza. And you said, well, I can smell everything. And I says, well, otherwise, all you smell is hot pizza sauce.
Okay. And I said, that the Europeans would like you. And the reason I said that is because over in Europe, taste and your food, especially in Italy, it's a big thing for you to have the right foods at the right time. That's why they have so many courses. There are certain things that you don't eat with other foods because they're not going to enhance the flavor of each food. And there's certain things you don't put on, like you don't smother it in all kinds of gravy and different things because you lose the taste. For instance, when they have their bread, which is always extremely fresh, there's no preservatives, so they throw it out in the morning if they haven't eaten it. They don't put butter on this bread because it has so much good taste to it. And I would ask them, would you have some butter? And they said, what are you going to use the butter for? I said, it's on the bread. You're going to ruin good bread with butter? And I said, well, that's the way I like it. And they said, well, you lose the taste. If you put the butter on, it masks it. So put all this together and look at how we've learned to put all of our food together and basically stir it up and have a big blob of everything
like
that you can't individually taste.
I want mayonnaise, ketchup, and mustard on my hot dog. What? What's it matter what the ingredients are in the hot dog? You're not going to taste anything but mustard, mayonnaise, and a little bit of relish.
There you go.
Okay, now apply this.
Sure.
Apply the. You know, I am like so hungry. I haven't had nothing all day. You know what?
And everybody's thinking, you know, Jim, that was really good that you brought that up about the pizza.
You know, How about I just hold your head underwater for just a little while? Just a little while. Not long. There's a water tank
on
the other
side.
There's a water tank. There's 100 gallons of nice clean water right on the other side of this wall. How about I just hold your head underwater for just a little while?
I'm going to get a drink right now. I'm thirsty.
Go ahead. Okay. Think of this for a second. All right. Now apply all these things to the way you look at your life and the decisions you make and how easy it is to literally lose yourself in your own life.
Yep.
And then remember what we talked about in the first part of the show about how for some reason people, no matter what country they are in, no matter who they are, we seem to have this ability to very easily and nonchalantly say, it wasn't my fault. It wasn't that bad. How was I supposed to know you weren't supposed to do this? Well, this is what I said. It's not my fault if they took it wrong. And so what we do is we literally take a couple steps back from our own thoughts, our own feelings and actions, and then we say, it's not my fault. There's a reaction. Because when we do this, whether it's really big at work or kind of big at school, or it's something that can be really earth-shattering where the whole household is in drama and dismay for the evening.
Right.
The point being is, where in any of these equations, where in any of these minutes, not seconds, not hours, but in these minutes, in 60 seconds, chunks of your life, are you a Christian? Where is there room for grace? Where in this are you even saying, I'm a spirit being and I'm made in his image? There isn't. So then when all of a sudden you come to a screeching halt and you say, God is good, God is great, please, God, please, help me out of this. Where are you? I really need you. Thank you for this prayer. What? Because that's not a spirit being praying. Because all prayers are answered for only Christians. All prayers are answered for only spirit beings. And at this moment in time, the drama, the issues, the choices that we all make, all human beings, all colors, ages, sizes, wherever you are on this big ball of mud, there's no spirit being. There's no accountability. There's no humbling. And if there's no accountability and there's no humbling, then technically, officially, and extremely, absolutely, nothing has been acknowledged, so there's nothing that can be forgiven. And if it isn't forgiven, then the rest of the recipe doesn't even matter.
Well, and for someone listening to this, let me say it this way. Because God has forgiven all of our sin, it's not like, you know, you have to do some major, you know, work and penance and try to get God to finally forgive you.
That's
all your
the
sins
trouble.
Have been forgiven. But let me say this, and this may be another topic sometime, but it serves the purpose of what we're talking about, where things are all put together kind of in this lukewarm Revelation chapter 3, I'd rather you be hot or cold. But not lukewarm. It kind of all goes to putting everything in the mix. That even with the way that we view repentance is more like putting a Band-Aid on so that we can go out and skin our knee again. Instead of the repentance is heartfelt turning from the situation that you recognize and realize is not accurate. So to have a situation where we're walking like flesh beings, and, you know, I don't know too much better illustration than over here in Galatians, Paul talked about this and he showed us that there's actually a real struggle between the flesh and the spirit. And I think this is really telling here when you look in Galatians chapter 5. Paul said in verse 16, I then say, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then he goes on to talk about the works of the flesh. And down in verse 25, again he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You know, Paul shows us right here that very, very easy for there to be a real battle between the flesh and the spirit.
No one's listening.
No one's listening now?
No, we could have talked about that pizza that's in the microwave right now. No. We've heard from Linda, you know, because of your debacle about Linda and Eve. I'm not, you know. We've heard from Mike. We've had one email or, you know, just...
So no one's out there right now?
There's Linda and Mike. And we have a... Remember Marion, the lady that lives in the Netherlands?
Yes.
That we mentioned her. She said, this way she says, my name is Marion. I live in the Netherlands. You can mention my name if you want to. Well, good thing, huh? It says, I heard you mention my name in show 83. Thanks for that. I have to wait until it's archived before I can hear it. Still learning English and trying to grab what you are telling. Oh, my gosh.
She's the one that was to learn English when you were talking like a hick that one night.
Learning English on this show, that's a dirty trick. I mean, we should really apologize.
She could get good English from me.
Oh, hello! She can get good English from me. Gee, so Ranger and... See, folks? And you wonder why all you got to do was look and sniff at the pizza.
That's
okay. I'm going to remove that chair. Next week, there's going to be a 5-gallon bucket for you to sit on. And then she goes on to say, I'm learning to see grace more and more. Followed your advice to make a list every day, and it works.
Good.
I see things change in my life. For example, I do not need my glasses anymore. She's got it. It says, but I'm also impatient, or so this religious thinking. I want instant healing for my lungs. If you can lose your glasses, it doesn't matter. It's like if you slam your finger in a door,
right,
or your lungs or a lump or whatever, but she has it. Okay, folks, if you want to email the show, it's theabidingpresence@gmail.com. No caps, no space, anything. Just the abiding presence. If you want to make a comment, if you have a question, some type of a brief testimony, we love getting emails. And oh yeah, somebody did send an email that said that they were grateful that you explained the Linda E thing, and I sent them an email back that said I'm not going to read that. With a smiley face. Never heard back from him. We just got a text here. If you want to text the show, folks, we love those too. It's very easy, very simple. We get them instantaneously. The first word of your text needs to be our two names together, Jim BJ. It says, Todd and Cheryl are here. A good way to apologize would be, I'm sorry. I allowed my flesh to rule instead of grace. Thank you. Now, Jim, are you going to apologize for me, to me? Here, look at the screen, read that, and then, you know, just say that right to me. Look at the wall, look at the screen.
Todd and Cheryl will have to write us back and tell us who that was for.
Well, obviously it was meant for you. It says, we got another text. It says, great show, enjoying listening from Lancaster, South Carolina, Pastor Stephen Braswell.
Yep, he's a great guy. Okay, I'm going to read over here because this is really good. Luke chapter 6, verse 39. And I'm kind of wondering whether I should read it in the... Well, I'll tell you what. I'll read it in the King James, and then we'll go over to the message. But it says, and he spoke a parable to them that said, can a blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you'll be able to see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. And this really goes back to the same thing that we're talking about, that you can become, through just the process of living life with a skewed reality, where things are not accurate, you can begin to spin in that inaccuracy until really you could have, just like Jesus is talking about, a plank in your own eye while you're trying to get a speck out of somebody else's. And that's exactly like Adam and Eve. And you'll find that this is more accurate to the daily lifestyle of how people live than anything in the world. And I want to go back to a statement where we make quite often, I won't say on every show, but that statement is, how you do life is how you'll do faith. And if your faith isn't working, then it goes back to how you're doing life. And when we say how you do life, that means your acceptance of what you call reality, your perception of life, where you put your energy, where you put your time, what you place your value on, is how you do life. What you speak, where you act. And if faith isn't working, it goes back to the kind of things that we're talking about tonight.
Just got a message here. It says, yes, I'm listening. I'm starved, wanting pizza, with a smiley face. This is from a lady named Leanne. Sends that in. Okay, we've got an email here that came in.
I actually had pizza this afternoon, so I don't need yours.
I can't tell you how much I don't care, Jim. Was that clear?
That was
absolute?
That was crystal.
Okay. 8 minutes ago, they got two comments with a question. It says, I sent one of these a few weeks back as the show was ending. Hope you may be able to get to one or both. And it says, thanks. This is from someone named Ronald. It says, Jim, not trying to be contentious, but I thought as a minister, you are responsible for what people are hearing. So I'd ask about the Bible and understood your point about BJ's comments about it not being so valuable and how that it is where he is coming from, his conviction. But doesn't a minister have to make sure that what people tune in and hear is congruent with the word? Because the word itself disagrees with BJ in saying that we should study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if my young son listens and hears BJ's comment, he might say, see, Dad, I told you the Bible wasn't that important. So, can you guys break all this down for me? What am I missing? What is the comparison between the importance of the Word of God and the importance of one's relationship with God? Is one more important than the other? Question mark. To what extent and why? I guess this is a compare and contrast type of question.
Okay, well, this is pretty, in my opinion, it's pretty simple to answer this. And that is, this show is about helping people to make a connection with God, not just with the Bible. The Bible is a roadmap to God, and it's always a reference material of other people that have experienced God. So there's always going to be a wonderful place for the Word of God. We always, in our experiences, can come back to the Word of God and see that other people have had like experiences with the Word, because we know the Word and the Spirit agree. So we don't diminish the Word of God, but the more your relationship with God becomes tangible and real, the less the Bible has to be the only thing that you have.
Right.
The more you have Him, the less you have to talk about your scriptures that you know, because you actually know Him. And your experience is about Him. So for your son that's listening, if he's listening, what he's picking up on is not just a phrase about, you know, where's that book? You know what, maybe I should dust that off, something right. That BJ might say. And, you know, you look at that and say, well, why would he say something like that? Well, you know, it's just like many times I've been in services too, where some of the things that I say, I may say them, and it may be an extreme, but it's because everyone's on the other side of the ditch. And you're saying something to help get their attention and draw it to the fact, am I spending all my time and have such a profound understanding of the Bible and still don't know God, still can't get a prayer answered, still can't find myself out of a paper bag spiritually, but I can quote scripture for years. And if that's how you can say, yes, that's me,
right,
then there needs to be a repentance because you missed God somewhere in all those scriptures.
I would say it like this. I mean, I'm sure there is so many reasons why I don't have children, you know? I mean, I don't think there needs to be another me or any facsimile of me, but I would say this to someone that has children. I would say, what would you enjoy more? What would be of more benefit for you? To have one of those, what are they, knee pads, iPads?
iPads.
iPads, phones, and you're going fishing. And I'm busy working, and so you're using your iPad showing me the fish you catch, and you're holding up the machine so I can see the water and the boat, and so you're not alone fishing. You're still fishing with your dad. Is that really something you want to do? Does it really take the place of having your dad in the boat actually fishing with you, feeling the breeze on your faces, talking about the sun, talking about all this? It's not. It's and take this to your own father. Would you rather talk to your father on the phone or talk to him in person? One is a connection. One keeps you connected. One may relay information, but yet the best of best is to put the phone down, put the book down, put the computer screen down, and actually be in the same room where you can touch each other,
right,
and you can look into each other's eyes.
Right.
It's like the Betty Crocker cookbook. Would you rather use the recipes and have the book, or would you rather put the book aside and actually make a meatloaf with the help of Betty Crocker? Now, we have a question that came in from Mike. And Mike says, what list was the lady talking about who got rid of her glasses? He's referring to Marion,
right,
in
right,
the Netherlands. The list that you heard Marion from the Netherlands mention was in, I believe it was show 83 or one of the shows, where we said, sit down,
correct,
and make a list where you see grace.
Right.
Where two cars miss. Where there's broken glass and nobody gets cut. Where you thought you didn't have enough money and you did. You sneezed and you thought you were having a cold and you refused to get a cold and there was grace. I said, take a piece of paper and pencil and just list where you see grace.
Right.
Because the more you list it, the more you look for it, the more you're going to see that it was there the
all
entire time.
Right, right. Over here in Proverbs, in chapter 23, in verse 7, a familiar verse of Scripture, it says, for as he thinks in his heart, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And I just want to take a moment just to reiterate this too to Ronald. You know, I appreciate that you sent the email, and I do. And I'm glad that I can respond and share some things with you. But also, while you're thinking about that, how often do I go to scriptures on this show? It's pretty much all the time. I'm giving you chapter and verse, scriptures, to back up the things that we're sharing, that we're talking about. So this show definitely promotes that the Bible is extremely important because we're using it for people to begin to have a very tangible relationship with God. All right, verse 7 says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, or thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Well, Jesus dealt with this all the time. He said things like, he said, you know, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. And it's out of the heart that your creative ability, you're made in the image and likeness of God, your heart, your spirit, the core of your being. And when we see this right here, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. These are the deceptions that we're exposing that are causing people to not experience the results that they want to. And it really goes back to how do you see yourself and how do you see yourself in this world?
We have an email that came in 7 minutes ago from Don. We had a lot of emails, by the way. Hey, we got some new text that showed up on the screen. It says, awesome response. I love the clarity you guys give to the questions. Well, that was nice. Thank you. Yep. It says, seeing grace work in many areas but need help with healing. Thanks. Those are the last two texts that came in. Remember, folks, if you want to text the show, it's just our two names, Jim BJ, as the first word that you type, and then you send that to this number, 69302. Donna writes, I had a lot of questions for you tonight, but I listened to archive show number 6 yesterday and show number 7 today, and my questions were answered. Thank you. This show is wonderful. I can't stop listening. As a matter of fact, I find myself rushing to my computer in the mornings to listen to the archive messages. Well, that's kind of sweet.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, that's from someone named Donna R. Okay, we got more here. It says, the lady that I wrote to, it says, Bro Jim, glad you defined the Linda thing. I just lost you lost you guys. I says, I will not read this. She sent back, ha, ha, ha. That was from someone named Joy. Another email here we have is from Barbara. It says, we're listening. Dave and Barb in Minnesota. P.S. Tried to text. It's not working right.
Well, I'm glad we're getting some more texts here. I really enjoy the show when people respond.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they mean by the text isn't working right because, okay, messages, text, create, send, 69302, and then, you know how hard it is to text on this phone.
Right.
Because my phone is 17 years old and it just literally showed up on the screen. So I don't know. I don't know what to... say about the that we got one here from George. It says hi. This is Amy, and it says hi. This is Amy. I'm listening on what you guys are saying. So how can you apply it to this story? I let my dog out to go to the bathroom, and she disappeared. I looked all around and couldn't find her. I asked Grace to bring her back, and she was never seen. I know this email.
Right. We've talked about this email.
Yeah, this is, you know what it is? Yep. We've got so many emails that I didn't notice what this was. Because it's already come back. Delivery to the following recipient failed permanently.
Mm-hmm.
We have somebody that opens up an email account, and then they instantly send ridiculous emails, and then they... that's the first time it ever got read on the air, and that means they're listening to the show, so they're probably having a really good laugh and think that they did something really wonderful. But what they don't realize is that the reason I spent tens of thousands of dollars in my barn is that I know things that we just don't use and we never talk about. That gives me information to make sure that Jim's ministry is protected, his family's protected, and so is his good name.
Thanks. Appreciate that it was a good one.
So
yeah.
Yeah,
good.
So
well, we've already covered that with them
but
personally.
There's more emails here. Uh-oh. This is okay. Mom, listening in Broken Arrow, you're doing great tonight. This is the problem. She didn't say who. She didn't say, Jim, you're doing great. She didn't say, BJ, you're doing great. She didn't say, Ranger, you're doing great. She didn't put any names. Your mom says, Mom, listening in Broken Arrow. That's got to be your mom because it says Kathy Huckaday is the email from. You're doing great tonight. Well,
good.
Who's doing great? We don't even know.
The show is. It includes all three of us in this barn right here.
See, I was going to choose Ranger.
Okay. Well, I chose all of us.
But you're not an animal person.
I chose her too.
No, you didn't.
I said all of us, the three of us.
Why are you so mean tonight?
I'm going to have to go ahead and get some more scriptures here, I think.
Okay, I want to ask this question. And here's a question, and it's about time. What's a better choice of time? To try to be the winner, to try to come out on top, to try to prove that you're right, to try to get something done your way, or to really just sit back and say, who cares? You know, it's like what I said when you're a kid,
right,
and you didn't turn in the homework assignment. You said, I'm a dead person. Life is over. My teacher's going to be so mad. I'm going to have to stay after school. I didn't turn in the homework assignment. I got an F on the test. My life is over. And most people wouldn't even remember that they were running with emotions. They didn't eat. Mm-hmm. They cried themselves to sleep. They didn't want to go to school. They had knots in their stomach when the teacher said, where's your homework assignment? Because so many years later, they realize that information isn't even used in their life anymore. People say hindsight is 20/20. I disagree. I think that foresight, looking ahead to the future, is 100%, because it's called grace in our lives. To sit back, sit down, shut up, look out the window, and enjoy the ride, and just let grace do its job. And say, grace, thank you. What happened today? You know what? Absolutely nothing happened. Well, what do you mean? Nothing bad happened, nothing good happened. Wait a minute. If nothing happened, then that means grace took care of everything. Thank you, God.
So just by you talking about that, then even in some of the things that we've been talking about before the show, some of the messages that we've gotten, and just looking at individuals that maybe have problems that are attached to this world and how it's so easy to build drama into it. Those are the type of things where you just get out of the way. Instead of trying to fix something, like you were saying, instead of trying to compete with somebody to be first and making such a big deal about it, just have an attitude that it just doesn't matter. Because it's when you don't care about it, and this goes back to just spiritual principles. If you're afraid to lose something, that's when you will. If it goes back over to Revelation chapter 12 and 11, where it says, that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, for they loved not their life unto death. Which what it's saying is, when you're willing to die, you don't have to. When you're willing to lose something, that's when you can keep it. And when you're willing to be wrong, that's when you can finally be right. It's building too much credibility into this world that really causes you to drown in all the drama and to be so eat up with things that bother you. Where what you're saying, BJ, is why would we care? Because when you remove yourself from the care of the world, that's really when grace can start to do something for you.
Remember Ronald, who sent in that question?
Yeah, sure.
You know,
we just answered it.
He just emailed again. It says, Ronald here. Jim, I'd thought about the fact you always reference Scripture, but just wanted to make sure. It's hard to admit you've been deceived by church for so long. It forces you to a place of conviction. Thank you both doing a fantastic job, and I hope the question didn't come off critical. I didn't care. I thought that's the whole point of people listening.
You know,
why would we have email and text messaging if we're worried about what people are going to send?
And here's the thing too. I love the question because it gives me a chance to just state more accurately or specifically certain thoughts that I have. I think it's great. No, I love the question. I have no problem.
His last statement is, I'm exceedingly thankful for the show, just sick of being tricked. God bless you both. Keep up the great work. It's nice that he's grateful to the show. I think it's really nice that people appreciate the show, and I'm glad that they really like what you have to say, even though you say the most off-the-wall ridiculous things that are just pointless. And shame on you, by the way, Jim. But the point being is that the hardest thing, Ronald's there.
Yeah, he really nailed it in that last couple
Ronald
comments.
Could be playing Monopoly with Jesus right now.
Right.
Because he's done one of the hardest things that people won't do. He put it into an email knowing that I was going to read it on a radio show that's across the globe, streams 24/7 and then archived. He said right here. He said, it's hard to admit you've been deceived.
Right.
And then in the two sentences down, he says, just sick of being tricked.
Right.
He's admitted that perhaps he's put his efforts and his life
correct.
And his emotions
right.
in the wrong direction.
Into something that's not produced.
Because that is the recipe for repent.
Yeah.
And doesn't it say somewhere in the book about repent?
It's all over it.
Find one.
Well, let me give you this one here.
Awesome show tonight. Completely clear and absolute. I've been experiencing God more and more, but tonight I'm seeing areas where I've limited him. Thanks and keep it up. This is from Mark in High Springs, Florida.
Thank you, Mark. Let me share this here. It's over in, Luke. Luke chapter 10, verse 13. I think, let me see. I'm sorry, folks. It's hard for me to see what... Oh, it's Matthew. And this is really good here because it says... It's what we already read, verse 13. But I want to go down here to about verse 15. It says, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their ears... see with their eyes and hear with their ears... lest they should understand with their hearts and turn." You wanted to know about repent. Now, there's plenty of places where it says repent, but this, I like it so much because it's giving you the description of it. It says, "Lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." Look what happens when you turn. I'll give you another scripture. It's over in Exodus in chapter 3, where Moses goes up onto the mountain and he sees a bush that's burning, but it's not consumed. And it says, when he turned to see this bush, God spoke. See, folks, it's when you turn from where you are that's not doing anything because you're willing to want something that is more. To desire something that is real. You're willing to say, this isn't right, so there has to be something that is. This isn't working, there has to be something that works. I'm failing, I need to succeed. You're turning to find something. Your heart is desirous of it. This is when you just literally, like a Mack truck, run straight into grace. And like it said here, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. And so tonight, it's all about perspective. It's all about seeing correctly. It's all about eliminating all of the mixture that causes us to spin in circles, to sound good, but have no power. You know, Timothy said something about that. He said there's going to be groups of people in the last day that are going to have all kinds of religious words, but there's right. no power attached to them. He said, no. Turn away from these people. And you may think that we're harsh on what some people think, that we're bashing churches. It couldn't be anything but further from the truth. We're not bashing any church. We're exposing religious organizations that meet in buildings. They may call themselves churches, but a church is a place where people are being connected to God and individually encouraged to go as far as they can and have as much of God as they can have. It's a place where prayers are being answered. It's not a place where we cover up what doesn't work with religious rhetoric and keep people spinning in circles, giving them multiple tasks to do that never seem to produce results. If you can just keep on hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing, you'll finally have faith. Well, folks, there's an element of truth to that. But to get you to spin and spin and spin in circles and never get anywhere, that literally is not Christianity. Christianity moves people into the experience of God. Not just even the experience of your healing, the experience of prosperity, the experience of joy. Those are all a part of Him.
Okay, we got two questions here that I like. One is a text message that says, "I'd really like you guys' thoughts on being nutrition focused and how and or praying for food." Well, if they've listened to this show with any regularity, the last thing we are is nutritious conscious.
I think we were just making the other day the comment that we've had so much candy, we need to switch it to cookies or
cookies.
Rice Krispie Squares would be great.
Chips. I would like to have, you know, it would be really cool, it would be fun. Well, you know, because there are things that are regional.
Oh,
there's
boy.
there's regional feed companies.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, there's Purina and there's ADM and there's Nutrina. There's feed companies that are all over the world. But then there are regional companies that they make feed and they sell in like four or five states. I think it would be, and there's potato chips.
Right.
I mean, you've got Frito-Lay, and you've got Ruffles, and you've got Pringles, but then also on the store, there's like a...
Old Dutch from way up in Minnesota.
Yeah, there's like...
Those are good.
There's like potato chips that are literally a regional, state,
right.
local brand.
Right, right.
There we go.
Yeah. In fact, from South Carolina, where I was just at,
now,
which is Buford, there's a real nice gentleman that
now
gave
you just realize...
What?
Okay, last night I spent 5 hours watching satellite television religious shows where they were asking for prayer donations. For $10, you get this. For $50, you get this. And for a $500 donation, you know, you get dinnerware or something and prayer cloths and prayer teams. And all these people are asking for money. And here we are in a horse barn on a horse ranch in Oklahoma, and we're talking about potato chips.
And your point?
I really don't have a point. I think it's just an interesting observation that we're not asking for money. We're not...
Well, we don't care.
No. Well, no, that's not true. We care about potato chips.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. So you know that just means... That okay. just means one thing.
This is a dumb question, but do you like salt and vinegar potato chips?
I've never had them.
Oh, I hope someone sends from Minnesota some old Dutch
this
salt
means,
and vinegar potato chips.
This means one thing and one thing only.
What?
God loves potato chips.
That's what it means. See, you've heard it right here.
Yes.
Okay, how can someone be healed with plastic, metal hips, knees, backbones fused together? This is from Leanne. Okay, you know, this is what she says. She says, how can someone be healed with plastic, metal, hips, knees, backbones fused together?
Well, I mean, I'll just say...
You want me to answer it? Because...
You can, but I'll just say this to start it off. I've seen people with fused bones bend over like anybody else. And if you were to ask, well, was the metal rod... removed. I've seen people with metal rods bend over just like anybody else. Was the metal rod removed? And I didn't follow the case up, so I don't know whether it was removed by God and they bent over, or with the rod in there, they just were normal.
Yeah.
And I've seen that many times, not just once.
Well, look at me. 25 pieces taken out of my back, 2 big incisions, never walk again, paraplegic, spinal cord smashed.
How much of the spine? Isn't it like 2 or 3 inches?
No, I think
or is
it
that too much.
No, yeah. You know what? I never asked because I didn't care.
Yeah.
Because when he was saying your spinal cord's smashed, you don't have insurance, you won't get therapy, you live alone in the middle of a ranch, you know, you're just going to spend your life in a wheelchair. That's when I told him, you know, I started using words that I use when I sort cows.
Right.
Because my grandmother used to say, nothing is better for the soul than using creative words when you're sorting cattle. And if there's any cattlemen out there, they're shaking their head, say, absolutely. You know, something about the right words, cows seem to understand them. Like you blankety blank in the trailer. But anyways, I think I have about an inch and a half of crushed spinal cord in the very small of my back, you know, like where your belt loop is.
Right, right.
But the point being is that to the question here about metal, plastic, fused, how do you get healing? There's a couple ways you could look at this. You could get really absolute and say, well, the fact that you've had surgeries, that you've relied on man, that's just another... mistake. That's another bad choice. And so, of course, if you realize it was a bad choice and you realize that you're going to be healed, well, then grace will eliminate that because all sins are forgiven. Another way to look at it is like medication. If the medication is working, and you stop taking it and you find out you don't need it anymore, that just says that it was a poor choice because you chose medication, doctors, and flesh in the world over grace. It's about where you place your value because, frankly, there's nothing good of the world, there's nothing good of the flesh, which means that plastic and metal are of the world. And when you put plastic and metal in the flesh, nobody cares. What I mean by nobody is heaven or hell doesn't care. Because it's of the world, it's of the flesh, it doesn't matter. Because if you're feeling pain, if this is dictating your activities, well then once again you're turning towards the world and you've turned away from God. I like that though. I thought that was a good question. Let's see. We never really answered about praying for food, did we?
Well, no. I'll make
you
this.
Always get off the track.
I'll make this comment. Well, you went to another
it
email.
It says I'd really like you guys' thoughts on being nutrition focused and praying for your food. Well, I think that when you pray for your food and you're grateful for your food, that you're showing thanks to God. And if you're connected with God and you have grace, it doesn't make any sense at all to be connected to God, two spirit beings, and you're thanking Him for your food, that the food is going to be poisoned. I think the point is you're praying for a Rice Krispie square, or you're praying for a tossed salad, if you're praying for a bowl of tuna fish, or if you're praying for a T-bone steak, that's not the point. What the point of praying and being grateful is that God is providing you with food. Why do you worry about where you sleep, what you eat, where you live? If I take care of the birds and the bees and the trees, why wouldn't I look out for someone made in my own image?
Right.
The reason you're thankful for the food is that you're not thankful for the food or thankful for the nutrition. What you're really doing is you're thankful for the fact that things are going well and that you can enjoy the flavor, the taste, that it does provide energy for the flesh, which allows you to do testimonies, to take your Christian thoughts and to share those, and to be of good to somebody if you can. I don't know. Did I get off?
Well, you did fine, but let me go a little further with the whole nutrition thing, and I'll say this. You know, people put the focus of their healing and their health or their well-being on their own ability to research all kinds of nutrition and take multiple, I mean, some people just take slew and slew of vitamins and minerals and everything else. And where I do understand and get it that in the world today, they've depleted our natural resources and the ground, and BJ could talk about this, but the ground, you know, the Bible tells us to let the soil rest every seventh year, and no one ever does that. And all the pesticides and all the things that are used to kill weeds and to kill off bugs deplete our soil of the importance of nutrition. So I get it where you can supplement some things, but then you go back over to what Paul said in Timothy in the fourth chapter where he said, bodily exercise profits a little. So your ability to do some things with nutrition, it definitely profits a little. I mean, taking a good vitamin is fine if you're not getting the same amount of intake of minerals or supplements that you need. But here's the point. Even in Jesus' day, when the soil was really good and the strict diet that was given under the Levitical priesthood to the Jews, you could call it Mediterranean diet, whatever you want, but it was a very strict diet. Jesus didn't just go and do crusades and only have two or three people show up because everybody was so healthy. He had thousands of people show up because even with all that they did, sickness and disease was a spiritual thing. And that's the reason why the finished work of Christ and Jesus accomplishing our spiritual healing, in other words, we say it all the time, healing would be easy if it weren't for your body, is the reason why your flesh doesn't ever have to go sick and be without strength, because it comes from inside. It comes from grace.
I really like this email. This came in from someone named Barbara. Came in 2 minutes ago. Instant text messaging, Jim BJ, and then send it to 69302 or the Abiding Presence. It says, in my experience, anything that I worry about hinders grace. be it worrying about money, health, or eating the right things. Now, I am enjoying life and worrying about nothing. Funny how things just seem to work out. Life is so easy now. No stress at all. Barbara's got it.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing here.
If Barbara takes another couple steps emotionally and then with her thoughts and then her actions, she can say goodbye to this show forever.
Yeah.
A lot of these people really
are very, very close to that.
I mean, seriously, tonight, and I'm just going by the emails and the texts and the comments.
Right.
There is a bucket full of people, Jim, that will listen to the show tonight, that if they just took the time to disregard their lives, disregard their worlds, it doesn't matter whether they come from China or the Netherlands or they're in the barn down the road from this barn, God would be with them and they'd say, you know what? It was nice listening to the abiding presence.
Correct. Right.
Thank you, but it isn't needed. I'm here.
Yep. Really, really good.
I really don't want this show to be 10 years old and somebody say,
that's right,
I listen and I have questions.
Yeah. Yeah. The idea of what we're doing is not trying to get more people. You know, the whole business idea of trying to make money would be to get as many as we can, keep them as long as we can keep them, and make them pay every single week. In other words, string the carrot out there.
Well, that's good business.
Well, yeah, string the carrot out there, get them to taste it a little, but don't give it to them.
That's
not what we're doing here.
I've always said if I opened up a church, there wouldn't be very comfortable seating. I would use bricks and boards. I would use bales of hay, feed bags. I would not make them comfortable because I'd say, why do you want to be comfortable when you're here? You're not supposed to be here very long. You're supposed to find out you're a Christian. You're supposed to be saved. You're supposed to find out you're a spirit being, and then you're supposed to connect with grace. Thank you very much. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Next. I said, I would be very happy to be part of an organization that was a church that had a drive-through window. Hi, welcome to this church. What's your name? Great. You've been saved? Hello. You see Jesus? Okay, thanks. Next. Jesus didn't hang around trying to sales pitch Christianity.
Right.
Jesus didn't say, you know what? Let me just have you a little longer. He was on the move. And he literally didn't care if someone listened or not. Even God says, make up your mind. Choose. Choose heaven or hell, but choose something. Make a decision.
Right.
Which means stand up and be accountable. Make a choice.
Right. Right.
For yourself.
I want to go over to, while you're looking at possibly some more emails that are coming in, I'm coming over to Ephesians chapter 1. Many of you have heard me in a time where we pray, we put a little music on and we pray, just something that we do kind of ritualistic here, where we take a moment to just our best bless the people, possibly speak some things out as the Lord shares some things about people's healings. But it says over here in Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 15, and the reason I'm reading this, because a lot of times I'll pray this prayer. Paul says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know, or... knowing means that you may experience what is the hope of his calling, that you may experience what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and that you might experience the great exceeding greatness of his power. I'm going to read this in the Message Bible. I think you'll like it just the same. It says, that's why when I heard of the solid trust you have in the Master Jesus and your outpouring of love to all Christians, I couldn't stop thanking God for you. Every time I prayed, I'd think of you and give thanks. But I do more than thank. I ask. I ask the God of our Master Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally. Folks, did you hear that? everything about our eyes being opened, the clarity of this message tonight, no longer being full of mixture, literally being able to recognize that we're covering up our tracks. Instead of being accountable and responsible for our life's decisions, we're trying to smooth everything over and cover everything up and just shake it into a big sack. And we lose, it's kind of like the pizza, we lose the individual tastes of all the different things on it because we've got so much sauce on it, smothering it up that you can't taste it. And all of this hinders us knowing Him personally. And it goes on to say, your eyes focused and clear so that you can see exactly what it is He is calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life He has for Christians. Oh, the utter extravagance of His work in us who trust Him. Endless energy and boundless strength. God wants us, even tonight and every night, every day, to begin to live as spiritual beings where you have clarity of the spirit realm, where God is not a stranger to you. It's not what you know about Him only. It's knowing Him personally. Are we getting any more emails? Or
We got one here that says, first time listening live in a while. This is from Steve. Been too busy experiencing God like crazy. Like BJ always says, the less you care, the more it helps you see God. Everywhere, seen correctly, is the main thing that God has been speaking to me about. Thanks, guys. Steve in High Plains, Florida, P.S. Try a peanut butter milkshake. He says it's liquid grace. Also, we heard from the kitchen counter people. We've heard from Minnesota.
Good, good.
They were having difficulty texting, but they said hi, and they said they're listening. Another text that we have here, it says, hi, Jim and BJ, great show. This is Kevin and Sue listening in Livermore, California. They're saying text messaging isn't working for us either. Hi to Dave and Barb, my sis and bro-in-law.
Brother-in-law.
I wonder what the deal is.
I don't know, but for the kitchen counter folks, if you can send us, well, we hope the text comes through, but... Otherwise, you know, as far as the whole potato chip thing, am I right that the brand is Old Dutch? Let me know if I'm right with that, or did I get it a little bit wrong? So I want clarity on that if you have it. Thanks. Well, BJ, kind of give me some of your thoughts about tonight, what you're thinking. Are we helping out, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I have sent one, two, five. I've sent five texts through. Randomly through the show, and we continue to get a few texts. I do know this. When I called the text company, they said that if you have like one of those pay-as-you-go phones, or like a, you know, like you buy and then you pay your minutes, and they also said that if somebody is with Sprint, a lot of times that has a hard time with this super-duper high-speed texting. I feel bad, but we've got email, folks, so please take advantage of it. I think as far as how's the show doing tonight? Well, this I got a very simple answer for you. Congratulations, you set a new record.
Really?
Yeah. By one. The record has been surpassed by one. So tonight we have the most live listeners that we've ever had before. Now, I'm going to take that as something positive. Don't you think, Jim?
I am too. I'm sending you something right now. Let's see if it goes through.
Okay.
Did it come through the text?
Yeah. You just text potato chip.
That's right. I did.
Yeah, but you know what? I wonder if it's a regional thing.
No, it can't. Your thing came back.
What came back?
Your thank you.
It said, Boxstall Broadcasting, thank you for the text, Jim, BJ, and Ranger.
I like that. It's nice.
Well, see, who are you with, though? What's your provider?
AT&T.
So am I. I don't think that's a good comparison. We're in the same barn, the same room, and we both have AT&T cellular service. So I would have to say, if I was listening to this show, I'd say, well, that doesn't make sense. Oh, we just got a text. It says, yes, Old Dutch is a local Minnesota company. And this is from the kitchen counter people.
Salt and vinegar. BJ has to taste some.
You know... Okay, wait a minute. We got a couple emails here I want to address. We're getting a lot of emails tonight. I'm reading them as fast as I can to see here. It says, it says this guy's on Verizon, and he says he's had trouble. You know, if you're listening to the show and you have grace in your life, that's the point here. That's what we want to focus on. I appreciate the information, and tomorrow, after I get morning chores done and get all the livestock turned out grazing for the day, I'm going to call the text company. But you're hearing the show, you're hearing the message, and you have the ability to communicate to me that the text isn't working. This is part of the problem that human beings have. And the problem is we see, for some reason or another, we seem to have this trouble. Think of it. You're listening to a radio show. You can't text message, but yet your email messages are making it. And they're acknowledging that they've got your text, that your email. Who cares about the text messaging?
Right.
This is the
stuff. People are still communicating.
You know what? This is the way I'm looking at it. This is grace.
Yeah.
Because think of it. Where else in this show have I ever criticized text messaging? Where have I ever told anybody to forget about their cell phones? I haven't. Look at the grace way this is working. If you look at this from a Christian standpoint, if you look at this from grace, think about this. Who cares if the text message works? If it works, great. If it doesn't, you're emailing the show. You're still being able to communicate with Jim. You're still hearing the show. Look at the positive side of this. Because if you can look at the positive side of this, maybe you have the ability to look at more positive things that are of more importance in your daily existence on this planet. Because grace is trying to say, hello. Do you really need to communicate with the radio show more than one way? Because if there's communication to A and B is communicating back to A, the point is there's a successful amount of communication.
Right, right.
I'm looking at this that way because I think that is the way of God.
Now, I'll give you credit for this because this is something we talked about before the show, but I want to share it. And that is, we were just talking about how easy it is for people to miss grace and yet constantly acknowledge the negativity of the world. For instance, and this is BJ's example earlier tonight. For instance, on a nice fall, crisp night, you walk outside and the stars are shining outside, and the first thing that comes by your nose is the smell of someone's fireplace. And that smell of smoke and the smell of the wood that's burning, it just fits perfectly with the cool evening, the stars that are out, the time of year where things are changing, and you find your nose just kind of leaning into it to smell that, even maybe taking a real deep breath of it and saying, ah, boy, that certainly smells like fall right there. And what's dismissed or not recognized at all is it's the breeze that's actually blowing that smoke to your presence where you can actually enjoy it. And we don't acknowledge that wind or that breeze, because if the breeze was going the other way, you wouldn't smell it at all. And yet, it's so easy to acknowledge what? Negativity.
Yeah.
Because like you said earlier, if somebody's septic tank, your neighbor's septic tank, you know, had a problem, and you walked outside and your nose was met with a very foul smell, the first thing you'd think of is what? I wish the wind would blow the other direction.
Yeah.
And you'd acknowledge the wind.
We just got a text message here that says, Todd and Cheryl, they're listening. They said hi. And then it says, until recently, we didn't even have texting. We just love the message of grace you guys are putting out there. There you go.
Right.
Okay. Everything about God and Christianity is positive. Everything about the flesh and the world has got to be negative. Because if you say that that's wrong, if you don't agree with it, well, then what you're really saying is that Scripture is mistaken. Because there is good things in flesh. There is good things of the world. And then all of a sudden, you are starting to grade on a curve, and things are not of what they see. Wow, this one's all in capital letters. I left healing school May 1st that I thoroughly enjoyed. Then by the time I got home, my emotions were running amok about bills and house payments. And then the text message stopped because it was too long.
Well, you'll get more.
You think we'll get more?
Yeah. It'll come in.
Is
like
it an automatic thing?
It usually does come as a second one if they're continuing to write.
Okay, because
sure,
you know I don't
there.
Text on my phone.
Right. I'm sure they didn't stop there.
Yeah. Okay, I want to see if we've got any more. We're caught up on emails. Yeah, we set a record tonight. We have the most listeners ever on tonight's show. Do you want to say something to music at this time?
Sure, that'd be great. Well, we've been sharing some things tonight that I believe have some great significance for everyone that's listening on this show. And so I'm really thankful for your participation. But right now, I really believe in my heart, God's showing me some things about some of you, that there's someone here that's got, and it's headache pain, but it's right behind the eye. And you've been suffering with this, but right now, God's wonderful grace comes on you and eliminates that because you've always been healed. Jesus took that a long time ago. Tonight, go ahead and experience that. And there's someone that has some type of infection inside your mouth, but that's dissipating and disappearing right now. You'll find that you can swallow very easily and you won't have any more pain and you won't be, you know, have any type of complications. And there's quite a few people here tonight that while you're listening, you're battling emotionally because there's bad reports that have been given to you about physical conditions. What we're trying to help you to see is dismiss the importance of the report and the condition. In a sense, you could even say, dismiss the importance of your life. If you, according to Paul, Galatians 2:20, have died with Christ, and you're no longer living, but it's Christ in you, then why would you be nervous about your life? And in letting go, grace comes to rescue you. So let everyone's heart be encouraged tonight. Let your soul be glad. Begin to see grace everywhere. And God is with you. He will not forsake you. Every time you turn around, His Spirit is there to speak into your heart and minister to you. Let the words of Scripture help you to have a real experience. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, what do you think, Jim?
I liked our show tonight, and I feel like, well, I don't know.
I think too.
Our message is becoming more acceptable to people, and
right.
They're getting it. We're doing a better job with it, I think. And just by the testimonies tonight, the people writing in, it's very encouraging to me.
I do too. I think that the only way that someone, and I mean, it's really true, the only way that someone really knows that they have a legitimate connection with Christ, that they are a Christian and that they are a spirit being and that they do have grace in their life, is when they ask and they receive. It isn't 50%. It isn't that they prayed for this and that didn't work, but yet 2 weeks later they prayed and it did work. That's intermittent connection. That's not conviction. That's not commitment. Commitment is that you know whether you pray that a flat tire fills back up with air, whether you pray for your cat to be healed, whether you pray that the soreness in your knee is gone or your shoulder, whatever it is, there is no question that if you ask for a swimming pool full of chocolate pudding,
right,
you know when you walk out the back door that you've just prayed for a swimming pool full of chocolate pudding, and if there is one spoonful less than a full swimming pool, you will be heartbroken and disappointed. Because that's conviction. Because if you think that's absurd, if you think that's ludicrous, that's extravagant, if you think that that's dramatic, if you think that that's impossible, or that it's just not going to happen, then you don't get it. And the reason you're not getting it is because you don't have it. There you go.
Well, that's good.
Ranger, where's my dog?
She's over here. Ranger.
Wake up. She had a busy day. Hired some new people here at the ranch. She's been outside all day. Ranger, where are you? Wake up. Come on, Range. Come here. You got to say goodbye to Jim's mom.
She was sound asleep.
She's tired. She had a big day. Ranger, say goodbye. What do you say? Come here. Over here. Folks, we want to thank you for listening to the show, the emails and the text messages and everything. Oh, she's still hard asleep. Bless her heart. But take care of yourselves. We'll be here next week. And take care of yourselves and your pets. And remember that we do try to answer all the emails. And I guess that's it. I thought it was a good show. Ranger, come here.
Good night, everyone.
Come on, what are you going to say?
Come on, what are you saying?
That was good. That was a little low, but we had to get her to bark.
That's good.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.